daf is daf kuf chaf dalet. So we got to the last four lines of kuf chaf gimam and beis, and the Gemara says we're talking about muksa, a lot of details of muksa. So the Gemara says Amar Rabbi Elazar kanim maklos glustra umidocha. All these things kulan kodem hataras kalim nishnu. All these mishnayos, these are just words that are going to be described in various mishnayos which we're going to go through. All of them were all mentioned before their matir kalim. We learned before there were different stages in history when muksa was very seriously usur, and then they kind of lessened the restrictions over time. So we're going to see four mishnayos of these four instruments, kalim, that were usur in the times of the Mishnah, but nowadays they should be mutter. So the Mishnah goes to, the Gemara goes to one by one. Kanim, what's kanim referring to? It's not in the Mishnah, says, lo sidra kanim v'loni talasan dochas ha-shabbos. When it came to the Shulchan, that these little bars that went across, he's holding up the lechem upon him. So it says in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to put the tubes across, remove them, put them back on Shabbos, because it's a violation of muksa. This is all before the heter of muksa. These were at the time when it was still usur. Next Mishnah, it says, when it comes to makalos titnan, the Mishnah tells us that makalos dakin chalakin hayusham umanichan. When it came to the carbon pesach, they used to have these little to hang the carbon pesach and skin it on er pesach. They have these little bars that hold the animal up. And the Mishnah says the maklos dakin chalakin hayusham. They're these very smooth sticks that would go across. Manichu akseifav akasif chaveru. They'd put the bar on one shoulder on one guy and across them to the other guy. V'tola umafshit. They'd hang the karm pesach from that little bar and then they'd skin it. And the Mishnah says that Rabbi Elazar Omer arba sar shachal yos b'shabbos. If, however, erev pesach is on Shabbos when they shech the pesach, then what they would do is they'd be meniach yadu al kasif chaver v'yad chaver al ksefo. They'd put their hands over each other's shoulders and hang the karm pesach over their arms of a tol umafshit, and they wouldn't use the maklos. They wouldn't use the sticks. Why wouldn't they use the sticks? Because it was muksa. He said everything is muksa. When initially muksa was instituted, everything was muksa except for a couple heterim. So this was all before the heter muksa existed. It was still when muksa was very, very strict. And then the Mishnah says, glustra is the next Mishnah that's on. The Mishnah teaches us that if you have a negesh, sheyesh barosho glustra, you have a certain a peg of some sort that used to lock the door, and at the end of it was some type of, like a thick ball or something you'd stick in. I don't know how they interpret this in English, but they say here, they call it a knob. Fine, there's a knob, so you have a little knob that turned the door open. Rabbi Shu Omer, it wasn't a knob that was attached to the door. You'd have to kind of, each door needed like the knob. You'd walk around the knob to open each door. You'd use it for this door, then you take it off to use it for another door. So the Mishnah explains here that on Shabbos, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, you'd have to kind of drag it on the floor and then connect it to the other door. Somehow there's a shinoi the way you'd move it. Because, again, there was muksa. This is before muksa was permitted. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Rabbi Tarfon argued and felt that this was a mutter like any other type of utensil. But according to Rabbi Yeshua, the early opinion, he felt that no, you couldn't carry this normally. You had to drag it. It was like a key of some sort. It was shaped like a knob. So either way, we see that this was also usher only before muksa became mutter. This is a time when everything was muksa. Every single kli was muksa, except for like food and kalim needed for eating. And the knife, we said the other day. Then the Mishnah says, when it comes to midoch, we said it was like a mortar, this thing with a mill, a grinder, had the amran. We said that, saw the Mishnah the other day, how that was something that was usher. Again, that was also prior to the heter of muksa. Fine. So these are all the different examples we see that all instruments were usher. In the initial takana of muksa, so Gemara says, "Amar Rava." Rava says, "Dilma liom emolach laachar hataris kelim nishim." Maybe all these mishnayos were even written after muksa was permitted, and each one has a particular case why they still had such an isser when it came to these muksa. What was unique about each case? So the Gemara explains that again, "Dilma liom emolach laachar hataris kelim." Really, it was a time where all muksa was removed, and it's mutter to move various instruments and kelim. But kanim taimamai, why did they say don't use the kanim for the lechem apanim on the shulchan on Shabbos? Mishim afushe. So the reason why they needed the kanim was to separate between the lechem apanim. They needed some space. If you take the nice, hot, fresh lechem apanim and bunch them together, they might get bad, they might get moldy quickly, the moisture of the air and then the steam. So they needed a little space to allow the air to pass through. So they put the kanim in between each lechem apanim to allow some space. Now they said, if you put that on Shabbos, and then Motzei Shabbos, let's say on Shabbos you didn't put on the kanim. And Matzah Shabbos, you'd go back and put them in when you'd be allowed to do it. So the Gemara says, "My mishum afushe b'hai purta lo ma'afshe." If you just wait a few hours, don't put it on Shabbos. Wait till Matzah Shabbos. 5 hours later, you put it on Shabbos. It's not going to get moldy in that time. If you wait a week, the lechem upon remained hot from week to week. If you didn't put any kadim for an entire week, then they get moldy, they get ruined. But if you wait from Shabbos to Matzah Shabbos and put the kadim a few hours later, that won't cause anything to go bad. And therefore, since there wasn't a need to do so, you can't move items just for no reason. We'll see shortly. You can't just start moving around kalim on Shabbos, even that which is mutter. So you didn't need the kadim to be there on Shabbos. You could wait a few hours. So that's why they said don't use kadim on Shabbos, but put them in after Shabbos. Furthermore, the Gemara says, Makos Efshir Kureb Elazar. The reason why you didn't have to use the sticks to hang the Karban Pesach was that too wasn't necessary. You had another way to do this when you put your hands on top of each other's shoulders. Granted, it's easier if you use a rod to hang the Karban Pesach, but it wasn't necessary. So if it's not necessary, then we recommend avoid any issues of moving any types of kalim. Furthermore, the Gemara says, Glustera Kedrebi Yanai. Why do we say you can't move the knob from one door to another door without having to drag it using some machinery? That's Kedrebi Yanai. We're talking about a chatzer that wasn't murevis. It had no air in it, so that's why you couldn't carry. It was an issue more of hotza'ah, not an issue of mukta. And then Rabbi Yeshua Savar, Tocha Pesach Kilfnim Dami, Ukimetaltel Mana Debatim Bechatzer. He felt this was a doorway. The doorway is an entranceway. So he felt that status, we saw this discussion, when it comes to an entranceway between a house and a chatzer, do you view the entranceway as outside? Or do you view the entranceway as inside? So Rabbi Yeshua is of the opinion that Tocha Pesach, inside the Pesach, is considered part of inside the house, Kilf Nindami. And then, if you're going to carry it in a normal way, you end up carrying from the Bayis to the Chatzar, to the next house, and that's a violation of a Hotzah. That's why Rabbi Yeshua says you have to use a Shinoi. But Rabbi Tarfon felt that no, Savar Tocha Pesach, the entranceway is like outside, so taking the doorknob from the door to another doorknob, that's all outside. It's chatzer to chatzer. It's all the same chatzer, and that's why he permitted it. Umana the chatzer bechatzer kmetalto. You're moving a object, the glustera, the knob, from one outside area of the same chatzer to another door, which is also on the outside area. That's all in the same reshus, and therefore that's why it's permitted for Rabbi Tarfon. But Rabbi Shua, again, it was a question of how to view the chatzer. And then finally, the Madocha, that's Shitas Rabbi Nechemiah, who was a Dasi Yachid. He was very machmir in how Muksa worked in general. But we don't assume like Rabbi Nechemiah, and therefore a Madocha can be used, and it's possible that Misha would be permitted even after the time as Muksa was allowed. Hopefully that was clear, but these are a lot of different instances of historically when these Mishnayos were written. Okay, the Mishnah now says, Kol HaKelim Nitlan L'Tzarach. We said every single kli, every single utensil may be moved on Shabbos, whether it was needed or whether it's not needed. Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Nechemiah rather, Omer, Ein Nitalon Elotzarach. You can only move it if it's needed. Okay? So let's see what this means. So, my Letzarach, my Shalal Letzarach. What does it mean that the Mishnah says you could call Nitalon Letzarach Shalal Letzarach, for needed or not needed? Omer Rabbi says Letzarach means Davar Shemlachto Leheter, Letzarach Gufo, Shelo Letzarach, when it's Letzarach, it means when you need the item for itself. Shelo Letzarach means Davar Shemlachto Leheter, Letzarach Mekomo. If you have a Davar Heter, and it's in your Makom, it's in your seat, that's called Shelo Letzarach. That's the understanding initially in the Mishnah. And the Davar Shemlachto Leiser, that which is Davar Sheiser, let's say a hammer, Letzarach Gufo in, if you needed to use a hammer for a Tzarach Gufo, such as opening up a nut, that's in, that's permitted. But Letzarach Mekomo lo, but to move the hammer out of your place, out of a seat, that's not allowed. That's the understanding of Tanakhama at first. And we also Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi Nechemiah in the Mishnah says, "Lemeimar v'afilu davar shem lachto leheter letzorach gufo in letzorach mekomo lo." Rabbi Nechemiah felt that even that which is mutter, such as let's say a fork, is letzorach which is lachto leheter, is only allowed letzorach gufo to use the item itself. But letzorach mekomo, that Rabbi Nechemiah wouldn't allow. So that's Rabbah's understanding of the Mishnah. Amr le Rava. Rava says, "Letzarach mekomo shelo letzarach karisle." You're really going to suggest that when the Mishnah says shelo letzarach, moving an item when it's not needed, that's talking about letzarach mekomo. I need it. Meaning, if the hammer or the fork is in my seat and that's letzarach mekomo, that's called a tzarach. That's not called a shelo letzarach. That's what's needed. So Rava has a whole other interpretation of the Mishnah, which is how we paskin. El Amr Rava. Rava says, "Letzarach davar shemlachto leheter. The tzorach means a davar shemlachto leheter, such as a fork, let's say. Bein letzorach gufo, bein letzorach mekamo, that you're allowed to use it to use a fork or to move the fork out of your way. That's all considered letzorach. When it says in the Mishnah, shelo letzorach, that means vafilu mechamer letzel. Even though you don't need the fork, but you're just trying to protect it, if it stays in the sun, it's going to get rusty, it's going to get hot, it's going to get ruined. That's called shelo letzorach, but you're allowed to move it mechamer letzel according to the Tanukama. That's only a kli shemlachto leheter. Comes along now, davar shel melachto le'iser, however, that which is a davar iser, such as a hammer, which main purpose is for a davar iser, if it's letzorach gufo u letzorach mekomo in, you can move it, but mecham letzel lo. But if you're trying to move a hammer or the like to save it from the chama to the shade, that's aser for a kli shel melachto le'iser. That's all the understanding of the Tanakhama. The Oster Rebbe Nechemi, Rebbe Nechemi comes along and says, "Lemeimer afilu davar shemlachto leheter letzorach gufo uletzorach mekomo in, but mechamer letzelo. Even that which is mutter to be used, such as a fork, a knife, and the like, that's only allowed letzorach gufo letzorach mekomo, but you cannot move it according to Rebbe Nechemi, mechamer letzel. Fine, that's where we stand right now. So there is an interesting discussion. There's a Ran here on the Gemara that says any items, if there's no need at all, you can't just move kalim." I mean, I could use kalim if I need to, a fork, let's say, if I need to use it to eat with, I need to use it, it's in my place, I can move it to Makomo. I could use it to protect it from the sun. But just playing around with the fork at the table, just to move it, that's actually muksa, to just move things for no reason at all, with zero reasons. That's a reason that you want things to be neat and clean and everything, that would be allowed. But just to play around with forks and knives, just for no reason at all, that's not allowed. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. But there are two items, two categories, that are not muksa at all. Food and kisvei kodesh, svarim, are never muksa. So you can move svarim all you want without any reason. You can move food all you want without any reason. When it comes to every other keli, then it's not allowed to be moved unless there's a reason for doing so. However, it's brought down by the poskim. Some say that anything that's used for eating, forks, knives, and spoons, is considered an extension of food where you would be allowed to move them even without there being a reason. So they expand the definition of food according to some. The Shulchan Acharav felt otherwise. He did not think that heter of moving food extends itself to forks and knives, but that becomes an interesting discussion. But I think the assumption is in the Mishnah Berurah that we do not move things around just to play with things without any particular purpose. Gemara now says halfway down the Amud here, Yosef, Rev Safra, Rev Acha Bar Huna, Rav Huna Bar Chanina V'Yasri V'Kamrei L'Rabba Aliba the Rebbe Nechemi. Okay, a lot of people talking and learning. Hani Karos Heich Metalton. How do they move plates? According to Rebbe Nechemi, you can't move plates at all. Why? What's the Shaila? So Rashi says this is called a Davar Heter Shemlachto Leheter Letzorach Mekomo. He did not allow you to move things if Letzorach Mekomo, according to him, right? Rabba's understanding. Remember, Rabba was the first opinion. Rabba said that according to Rabbi Nechemia, you could only use items letzorach gufo, but you couldn't move things letzorach makomo. So how in the world does he let you move karos? If you have a plate that's, as Ricky just asked, you have a plate left on your table, and you don't need to use it anymore, it's there, it's dirty, so what allows you to move it on Shabbos? It's letzorach makomo, I want the place, but you can't move things letzorach makomo. And Rabba's understanding of Rabbi Nechemia. So Amar Lahu, Rav Safra says, Midi davia graf shiri. It's no different than graf shiri, which is when there's garbage, there's disgust, there's waste, it's in the place, you're allowed to move it, even though these things are muksa, one's allowed to move it because there's a special heter of we don't want any garbage or waste being around. That's the heter of moving these things. So Gemara then says further that, 1 second here, the Gemara says, Amar le Abai le Rabba, Abai says, the Mar, Aliba de Rebbe Nechemia, according to Rabba's understanding, and Rabba's one who understood the second shot, no, he's the first shot in the Mishnah still, the Rebbe Nechemia, Hani Karos Heich Metatulino, same question, how do you move these empty bowls, plates that have been used and you don't need them anymore? You just need the place. Amar le Rebbe Nesafra, Chavron Targumi Midi Dehavia Graf Shari'i, that same thing, whenever you want to move any garbage, any waste out of the way, you're allowed to move it. So here too as well, the plates are left over, one would be allowed to move them as well, because they're no different than moving garbage out of the way.
According to Rabba, the Torah Mekomo is more chamur than, we call the other way around, you're even allowed to move Melachto Le'isur for Torah Mekomo.
That's how we paskin, correct,
right,
yeah.
He holds that not even for Melachto Le'heter,
exactly,
Mekomo,
right. Exactly, yeah. Wow. So Gemara then says, Eisivya by the Rava Medocha Imyeshbo Shum Metaltinoso Vimlav A Metaltinoso. So if you have this type of mortar and there's some garlic in it, you're allowed to move it. And if there's not, you're not allowed to move this. So why is that the case? isn't this an issue? It's a kli shemachtul iser. But if the tzarach makomo, how come it says only if there's food in there can you move it? But let's say I need the makomo. So if I tzarach makomo, I'm allowed to move a kli shemachtul iser according to Rava's understanding. And the Gemara says, hacha b'mayaskinan mecham letzel. It's not where you need the makomo. If you need tzarach makomo, yes, you can move the madocha. Here's a situation where it's outside in the sun, it's going to get stolen, it's going to get damaged, and there we say you cannot move a kli shemachtul iser mecham letzel. Eisav, the Gemara asks further, similarly, v'shavin shim kitav ala basar sh'asa l'taltel, if you cut the meat and you don't need the saw anymore, the axe anymore, you're not allowed to move it. Why not? Aren't you allowed to move it l'tzarach mokamo, to kli shemachtul iser? So why can't you move this? And here's well, hachanami, mechama letzel, it's a situation where it's moving something from mechama letzel, and that's why it's not allowed. But had it been for the tzarach mokamo, ein hachanami, a kli shemachtul iser may be moved on Shabbos. So Gemara says, v'hatanan, the Tanan the Mishnah tells us, you cannot hold up a pot of some sort with a wood, with a little log or a piece of a branch or something on Shabbos. So if you're trying to keep a door in place, you can't use a piece of wood on Shabbos because these things are muksa. This is a mission in Maseches Beitzah, I believe, right? So in Maseches Beitzah, we assume it's talking about Yom Tov always. So these items on Yom Tov are not muksa, because wood, you're allowed to fuel the fire on Shabbos. Wood's not muksa on Yom Tov, rather. On Yom Tov, you're allowed to. Alma, davar shemlachtu leheter, bein letzorach gufo, bein letzorach mekomos aser. So that's going to be a question according to everyone, that you can't move the wood to support the door, to support a pot, because it's a muksa, which is hard to understand. How could a kli shemlachtu leheter be aser entirely? So Gemara says, Hasam, my time, what's the reason why they said you can't move wood on Yom Tov? Kaven de b'Shabbos davar shemlachta le'isahu, gzeira Yom Tov atu Shabbos. Wood on Shabbos is certainly muksa. No one's going to contend that. But by extension, they said if it's going to be aser on Shabbos, they want it to be aser on Yom Tov as well, so people don't get confused. So they made gzeira. Make a din, a wood is not muksa on Yom Tov, but they made gzeira. V'chitema Shabbos gufei tishari. So maybe you should allow wood to be mutter even on Shabbos. We assumed before above that Rava understood the Tanakhama that even that which is a kli shemlachto le'iser is mutter l'tzorach gufo l'tzorach mekomo. So isn't this l'tzorach gufo? You need the wood to hold the door open, to hold the pot together. So why is this not mutter, even wood on Shabbos? So Gemara says that's only true hani mili heicha de'ika tars kli alav, only if it's a kli. But heicha de leka tars kli alav lo, it's not called the muksa. So in other words, let's go back to three main categories of muksa we have. When we speak about kli shemachto leheter and kli shemachto leiser, that's only a first, if it's a kli, it has to be a utensil. Safer, a phone, table, chair, tablecloth, these are all kalim. Well, you can start defining. Is it a kli that shemachto leheter, this is a heter, or it's a kli shemachto leiser, this is an iser. But if it's not even a kli, it's a rock, it's a branch, it's wood, that's not even a kli. That's called muksa machmas gufo. And now we're talking about that. That's entirely muksa. When you're allowed to move things, it doesn't mean you can move a rock on Shabbos. You can't move a rock. It's not a kli. That's muksa machmas gufo. There's no heterim to move that in the normal way. Maybe, tiltum netzad or kicking of some sort. But just in terms of moving regularly, these heterim do not apply to that which is muksa machmas gufo, that which is intrinsically just a dover that's nothing. And therefore, since wood is a muksa machmas gufo, there's no heter on Shabbos. It should be mutter and yantif because wood's permitted. It should be. But we made a gzera that since wood is aser on Shabbos, we extended this iser to yantif as well. So Gemara says, really, we made a gzera from Shabbos to yantif? Umi gazrin, do we really go there, things from Shabbos to yantif, that there's certain things that are equal? V'hatran, the Mishnah says, mashilin peros derech aruba b'yantif ala b'Shabbos. When it comes to lowering certain fruit, the Mishnah said, in the Mishnah, you had a little like window on the top, they'd lower down some fruit. So he said, on Yom Tov, you're allowed to do so, but on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do so. So we see that there are certain things that are muksa on Shabbos, but not muksa on Yom Tov. We don't make a full equation between Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Gemara says, umi lo gazrinan? Do we not go there? In other words, we find, based on the following Mishnah and Megillah, that we do equate everything. V'hatanan, the Mishnah says, ein ben Yom Tov l'Shabbos, ela ochel nefesh bilvad. The only difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov is that Yom Tov you could cook ochel nefesh, Shabbos you cannot. everything else is mutter, which sounds like every item with respect to muksa should be equally usher in both or equally mutter in both. So we have a stira in Mishnayos. While one mission implies the halachas of muksa should be the same, the other mission about ein mashilin says there are different criteria of muksa, beim Shabbos, beim Yontif. So what's the answer? So Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, lo kasha. There is no contradiction. It's really two different opinions, two different people. Ha Rabbi Eliezer and ha Rabbi Yeshua. Who's Rabbi Eliezer? Who's Rabbi Yeshua? So the Gemara explains, we've seen this before. The Sani, the Brisa says, oh, so that's but no. You have a mother and a cow and a calf, let's say, a mother animal and a child animal. Oh, so that's but no. Shenafu labor. So the mother, the cow, and the calf fall into a boar in Yantiv. And the din is you're allowed to shech the animals in Yantiv. That's permitted. It's the tzarech ochel nefesh. So, but you can't shech them both in the same day. That's a violation, of course, of oses, but no. You can't shech the mother and calf in the same day. So what do? How do you get the animals out of the boar? So Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Malas Arishon, you pick up the first one of them. Let's say you take out the cow first. And Al Menash L'Shochto, you take it out. Animals are muksa on Shabbos, but you're allowed to. Let's say, Chochon Nefesh, you take it out with the intent of shechting it. And then you shech the animal. Vasheni, the second one, you don't need the second one anymore because you already have enough meat from the first one. So, what? Yeah, Yantiv, yeah. So the second one now, you don't need the second one, so there's no head to move the second one, so you leave the sheni, the second one, osala parnaso, bimkamo, you have to bishvil shalayamas. You just feed the animal until Yantiv is over, and then fine, because you can't move the second animal, it's unnecessary. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, ma'aleh arishon al menash l'shochto. You first take out the first cow and with the intent of shechting it, and then ain't a shechto, but don't shecht it. And then marim, you play some games, you do a little loophole, and you say, you know what, malas hasheni. You say, no, I'd rather the second one, so then you take up the second cow, the calf, and ratzah zeh shochet, now you've brought up both cows, the cow and the calf, and you can decide which one to shecht. So we see from here that Rabbi Eliezer is more machmir with respect to yantif, but Rabbi Shua is more meikel with respect to yantif here. So here as well, that just like Rabbi Yeshua is Mekel Lagaba Yantiv and bring up the animals, he's also the one who says you're Mekel by bringing the fruit, the peros up on Yantiv. He's allowed you to do that because of Hefsid Mammon. You don't want to lose the cow, so too you don't want to ruin the fruit. So there's a special heter of Hefsid Mammon on Yantiv. But Rabbi Eliezer says there's no heter of Hefsid Mammon. The Muksa does not is still in place. You have to leave that other cow in the boar until after Yantiv. He's more Machmer B'Yantiv. He's the one who says that the same dinim applies to Shabbos Bein B'Yantiv. That's the Gemara's initial understanding of this debate, whether Shabbos and Yantiv are equal with respect to Muksa or not. Again, based on this mission, the Brisa, but also as but no. So Gemara says, Mimai, how do you know that's the case? Dilma, Ad kan lo kama Rabbi Eliezer Hasan. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer only says by the case of the boar that you leave the cow inside the boar until after Yantiv, because Elo de'efshir leparnasa, because you're able to. You're able to feed the animal. It might not be so easy, but you stay there all Yantiv and keep feeding it food. There's a possibility how to keep it alive. V'hecha de'lo efshir leparnasa. If there's a situation where you're not able to, in other words, your fruit are going to get ruined on top of the fruit, if you leave the rooftop, if you leave it there, there's no other way. Lo, he wouldn't ask you from doing so. Again, Rabbi Eliezer is very concerned about Hefsid Mammon. So if there's a possible way to avoid any type of tircha, any type of muksa, okay, you use the other options. But if you're stuck and you're going to lose money, then he allows you to override muksa if need be. And inami, alternatively, ad kan lo kama Rabbi Yeshua Hasan. Rabbi Yeshua says only by the case of the cows can you do harama and bring up both cow and the calf. That would be allowed. Because the efshir b'harama, you're allowed to use certain loopholes in certain instances. So that's why you have the option by the two cows. But if there's no harama, that's allowed, low. By taking the fruit, you know harama. There's no heter moving muksa on yantif. You're allowed to move a cow because you're going to eat the cow. But to remove the fruit from the top to save the mammon, there's no harama that you're able to apply here. And therefore, since harama is not an option, you're kind of stuck here. And therefore, no heter by the bringing the fruit down. In other words, this parallel between the bring the fruit down and the oses b'no are not parallels because you can make distinctions in both opinions of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So the Gemara says, okay. Tircha, exactly. Right. So the Gemara then says, El Amar Papa, Papa says, I'll tell you what the difference is. Lo kashya, ha beishamai, ha beisila. What are their opinions? The Tan, the Mishnah says that beishamai omrim, ein motin sakatan vesalulav ves sefer Torah l'rushisarabim. A person, if it comes to Yantif, many people think there's no din of hotza in Yantif. You don't need Erev in Yantif. That's not true. Beishamai certainly says you can't carry outside Rosh Hashanah on Yantif, anything, Beis Hillel is matir. Beis Hillel allows you to, even though there's no Erev, but there has to be a tzarech still, right? The example is brought as a child, a lulav, a sefer Torah. But just to stop and schlep things out with a place where there's no Erev on Yantif, you're not allowed to. So Beis Hillel says you're allowed to carry these items because there's a certain mitzvah that's there. So just like he's Meiko with respect, if you look at Rashi here, Rashi in the top line says, Ein motzin hotzah shelo l'tzarech, unnecessary carrying is not allowed. D'lo ishtari l'chadchila b'yamtif, tfei mi b'shabbos. You don't allow more in yamtif than that which is permitted on Shabbos. Ela ochel nefesh v'hach demashilin beis hillel. In other words, Beis Shammai says, just like you can't carry on Shabbos without an Erev, so too you can't carry on Yantif either without an Erev. So he's the one who's machmir by Yantif as well, Yantif and Shabbos. Beis Hillel says, no, Yantif you're actually allowed to carry if there's at least a tzorach, if there's a certain need, even though it may not be Ochel Nefesh purposes, but to carry a child, to carry the mitzvah of Lulav, or to Sefer Torah, he'd be allowed, he's more makel on Yantif. Even on Shabbos, you couldn't do the same thing without there being an Erev. So just like he's Mekel, Agabe Hotza, so too he'd be Mekel with respect to Mashilin and the Tircha of bringing the fruit down from the rooftop. So Gemara says, Eima d'shmasle the Beis Shammai, Hotza. Granted that Beis Shammai says Hotza won't be allowed, that's Aser to carry in Rishis Rabim on Yontif if there's no Erev. But Tilto Mishmasle, did we ever hear that Tilto would be Aser? Tilto's only Dirabanan. Maybe he'd permit Tilto. He's Aser as a Hotza. But maybe by Tiltal, he'd allow you to schlep things up and down the rooftop. So the Gemara says, Tiltal gufa lav mishim hotzahi. And this is a very important Gemara in terms of the nature of Tiltal muksa. Is muksa not because of hotza? What's the reason why they instituted muksa on Shabbos? It was all because of hotza. There are three different opinions brought down by Rishon why muksa was usher. But one of them, I believe it's the Rambam. No, maybe it's the Ravid. I think Ravid quotes this Gemara. That why they usher Tiltal? The Rambam says muksa and Tiltal was usher. Because we want a weekday to be different than Shabbos. So if I'm moving everything around on the Sunday, and moving everything around on Shabbos, there's no difference. So another way to make a distinction between Shabbos and a weekday was to aser muksa. The rabbi says, no, this Gemara says, you know why they aser it? Because if I start moving things around in my house on Shabbos, I might come to carry things outside of a hotzah. So the whole reason why Tilta was instituted in the first place was because it might lead to hotzah. That's what the Gemara clearly says, and that's how the rabbi paskins. So the Gemara says, these two halachas are equated. The whole impetus for muksa is because of otsa. So it's hard to distinguish between muksa and otsa. So therefore, if Beis Shammai says you can't do otsa on Yantif on these items, certainly he's going to say muksa as well, you shouldn't be able to do either because those are two are intertwined with each other. And there's two types, either Rishis Lashus or Dal Amos within Rishis Harabim.
Sorry? Doesn't seem that muksa the main issue is that you shouldn't do something that's asr, meaning to avoid you.
No.
So what leads to melachta le'etim and to the asr? What should be different? Just think.
No, there are certain tzorach. They had to institute certain things, so they allowed the items which have kalim, which had intrinsically mutter, so they allowed.
And that should be the opposite. Leads to melachta the heter, so you should have a much bigger takana because those you can touch and you're scared you can carry. The other one, anyways, you can't use.
It's a good question. I'm not sure. It's a good question. I don't know. Okay, the Gemara now says four lines down. The Af Rav Savar Laha. Rav also felt this way. Laha the Rav Adam Rav Mar Shlo Yignav Zel Tiltal Shlo Tzarech. So Rav felt that something that Amar. If you look at Rashi, it's an item. It's a Rashi. It's a posher in French, which they define here to mean a hoe. Yeah, a type of shovel of some sort. So the Gemara says, this mar is shalol yigan, if you don't want it to be stolen, so zeo tiltil shalol tzarech v'asr, that's unnecessary, that you don't need it for tzarech, that's to avoid something bad from happening, he says that's asr. Taima shalol yigan, if it's only to prevent it from being stolen, would it be asr? Aval tzarech gufal, tzarech mokom mutter. But we said, again, a mar, this type of shovel or hoe, is a in a kli shlamachtul iser, and we already established above that a kli shlamachtul iser is permitted l'tzorach gufo l'tzorach makomo, but not mecham l'tzel, which would be the same category shlo yiganev, not to have anything damaged, anything damaging to it. Ani, is this true? V'ha Rav kana ikle the beirav v'amar. He once visited the shul, the house, the base medrash of Rav, and Isi lehu shusu l'kana. They brought to him some type of Rashi explains here. It's a metzuda, trap of some sort. They brought to him, they should be able to sit on top of it, leisivala. So they brought, I don't know, whatever, a trap, a cage, to catch animals to sit on top of it. They brought to Kahana, leisivala. Lav lemeimra is not to suggest that davar shemlachto leiser letzarach gufo in letzarach mekomo lo. But so they only brought it forward so he could use it. That's called letzarach gufo. But it implies if it was in a way, if it was in the mekomo, you would not be able to move it if it's letzarach mekomo to move it out of the way. That seems to be the implication initially. And the Gemara says hachi amrlu. Now this is what they say to him. Rav said to him, shaklu shusa mekam mekana, take the trap from away from Kana, move it out of the way, because it was in his way, Letzorach Makomo. That's what he was saying. It was allowed to be moved, Letzorach Makomo. Not for him to sit on it, to move it out of the way so he could sit where it was. Ibaisem, alternatively, Hasam Micham Letzel Hava. No, there, the different interpretation was, initially, this was an area where it was going to get ruined, it was trying to move it Micham Letzel, and therefore, that's why it wouldn't be allowed, but only if you're trying to do it Letzorach Gufo, if you wanted to, you know, move it out of their way, then you'd be allowed to. In other words, let's say I've got my hammer that's outside, and someone's going to steal it. I can't move it Mecham Letzel, but what I can do is say, you know what, I want to open up a nut. Take it Letzorach Gufo and open up a nut. That's a way of around having to avoid the issue of Mecham Letzel. That's why they moved the trap. Fine. The Gemara then says, Vayter, Rav Mari Barachel Havalei Hahi Be'Sadvasa B'shimsa. So Rav Meri Barachel, they talk about here, he was interesting Maisa, Rav Meri, that his, he was Barachel, was the daughter, I think it says of Shmuel. How they say this is interesting, just historically how to understand who it was. Right? There's a Rashi that says in Bamitzia that Rachel was the daughter of Shmuel, and she was actually held in captivity, and then she ended up getting married to a Nachri, and the Nachri converted after she was already pregnant with him. So that's why they call by Rachel, because his father wasn't really Jewish until while he was pregnant with him. Anyways, so this is why he gets called this name by Rachel as opposed to by the father's name. But either way, Rav Mari by Rachel Havalei Hahi Bei Sadivasa B'Shimsha. He had a certain pillow, some type of felt pillow, they explained, that was in the sun. Us Lakami, the Rav, they came to Rav, well, it's getting late. Amalei Maul Tiltuluna, can I move it out of the way? Amalei Shari, of course you're allowed to. Islay Acharini, he says, I have others also, I don't really need this one, it's unnecessary. Chazi L'Orchim, but maybe you're going to have some guests over, and the guests might need it, so there's a tzarech for it. Islay Nami L'Orchim, I got plenty in my closet for the guests. So Amalei, he says, Gali Dadaitach, the Kirabas Rialach, it seems to me that you hold like Rabbah, that you're not allowed to move things from Mecham Letzel. Ain Motzi, you can't move from Mecham Letzel. So it said everyone else is allowed to use it, but you can't, because you hold like Rabbah. Rabbah was the first understanding of the Mishnah on Amud Aleph, who said, Mecham Letzel, you can't move even a Klish L'machtel Iser. So if that's how you paskin, you can't move it. The rest of the world, we paskin like Rava, that says a Klish L'machtel Leheter is Mutter, Mecham Letzel, and everyone else can move it, you just can't move it. So Amar Rebbe, Abba, Amar Rebbe, Chia Bar Ashi, Amar Rav, Machbados shel melsa mutal talta meshabbos. These different types of brooms. Rashi says made of some type of cloth. You use it to kind of sweep the table. Rashi explains here. So these things are allowed on Shabbos. You can move it on Shabbos. About shel tomorrow lo. But if it's made of palm leaves, that would not be allowed on Shabbos. Rashi explains the reason why, because they're used for the floor, and you might come to mashva gumos. Might come to their floors used to be made of dirt. So if you sweep it, you make it flat, which would be violation of choresh or inside the house really bona. So Rabbi Elazar says to Gemara Omer, Afshat Tamar, he felt you're even allowed to use a one that's made for brooming, sweeping the floor. That's allowed as well, he thinks. So B'mayaskin, what's the case here? Elaim, again, we're talking about moving it, not using it, moving it right now. So what's the case? Elaim, if you're going to say Letzarach Gufo, Letzarach Makom, if you're saying you're trying to move it because it's needed for the using the broom itself, or you need the place of the broom. B'halema Rav Shalal Tamar Lo. Would anyone say you can't use it? I mean, granted, let's say you say a broom is not mukser, rather it's a klish machtel iser. Let's say it's a klish machtel iser because it comes to even out the ground. In the end of the day, even a klish machtel iser can remove the Torah Gufo and the Torah Makomo. Would Rav say you can't move it in such a case? V'har Rav Kirava Svirle, and he holds that you're allowed to move a klish machtel iser bein the Torah Gufo, bein the Torah Makomo. Ella, it must be a case, Mecham Letzel, you can't move a Kli Shemach Lizer. Well, if it's a case, Mecham Letzel, you're trying to move it from the sun to the shade to protect it, but Halema, Rebbe Elazar, Afshal Tamara, would Rebbe Elazar allow you to move a Kli Shemach Lizer? Mecham Letzel, no one allows you to move a Kli Shemach Lizer, Mecham Letzel. Ella, Liol Mecham Letzel, Ema, V'chein Amar Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar was not arguing, he was agreeing. He says, V'chein, he also held that you cannot move this type of broom if it's a situation, Mechama Letzel. Okay. The new Mishnah begins now. Again, we're running out of time. Let's see how far we get here. The Mishnah says that kol hakelim hanitalim b'Shabbos, all utensils that are taken on Shabbos, shivren nitalim imahem. You could, even if they're broken, you can move them as well. They're not muksa. U'bilvad shiyu osin me'ein melacha, as long as they do a melacha. Not the initial melacha per se, but a melacha. It can be function, have some function. For example, shivri ariva, you have some type of bowl that gets broken, lechasas ba'asa piachavis. You could use a broken part of the bowl to cover something. Now, even though the bowl initially holds something, now you're using it to cover something. It's a different malacha, but it is a malacha. You'd be allowed to move it. It's not muksa. And shivri zechukas, you have a glass that broke, lechasas ba'asa piachavis. You could use it to cover up the pach as well. So even though the glass initially was meant to hold something, now it's meant to cover something. That's a malacha, and therefore not muksa. But comes along Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, u'bilvad shiyu osin me'ein melachlin, it has to do something like its initial melacha, has to be able to hold something. If it was a glass, if it was a bowl, the only way these shivrei kelim remain not mukza, if it's able to do something similar to the initial melacha of holding something, carrying something. Shivrei areva latuk latocha mikba. For example, if you have a bowl that's broke, as long as you put something like porridge in it, that'd be allowed. Shazachuch is a glass that broke, latuk latocha shemen. If you could put oil in it, it could still carry something. Only those types of shivrei kelim would be permitted. But if it's only able to do something different than the nishim lacha, it would not be allowed. So let's go right now. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Amalachlokas Shinisprum Erev Shabbos. This whole debate is only if it broke before Shabbos. Demar Savar Meim Lachtan In Meim Lacha Acheres Lo. That Rav Yehuda says only if it does something similar to the initial malacha would it be permitted. But if it's doing a new malacha, Rav Yehuda says it's muksa. Umar Savar the Tana Kama felt Afilu Meim Lacha Acheres. Even if it's trying to do another malacha, it would be permitted. That's all if it breaks before Shabbos. Aval Nishru Bishabbos, if it breaks on Shabbos itself, Divriya Kol Mutar, and everyone agrees you're allowed to move it when it breaks. Why? Ho Umuchanim Agabi Avin Mutar, since when the Kli was big, when Shabbos started, and then it broke later on, since at the onset of Shabbos, it was not Muksa, it remains not Muksa even on Shabbos after it breaks. So the Gemara challenges this pretty quickly and says, Mosif Rav Zutrai, Masikin bekelim, vein masikin b'shivei kelim. On Yantif, you're allowed to add fuel to the fire. So it says you could put kelim into the fire, but you can't put shivei kelim, because shivei kelim, broken kelim, are muksa. You can't put muksa. You can't move muksa on Yantif. So that's the Mishnah. And the Gemara now clarifies the Nishbru, Amos, when did these kelim break? So Ilema did Nishbru, Me'er of Yantif, if they're broken from before Yantif already. I knew that they were broken. Eitim ba'amaninu. I knew about it. And they're just wood, which I can move wood on Shabbos, for Yantif rather. Yantif muksa is wood is a muksa. So that would certainly be allowed to put shivrei kelim in the fire on Yantif, if it broke before Yantif. El alav, b'yantif. It must be that they broke on Yantif. And we see, the katani masikin b'kelim, v'ein masikin b'shivrei kelim. You cannot throw the broken kelim into the fire. So we see everyone, there's no machlokas here. Everyone in the Mishnah clearly, on the Braisa, clearly states that the kelim that break on Yantif are certainly muksa. So Gemara says, you're right. Let's switch around the machlokas. Ella, i'itmar, hachitmar. If it was said in the name of Shmuel, this is how it was said in the name of Shmuel. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, machlokes, shenishbru b'shabbos. The debate is, if it broke on Shabbos, demar savar muchanhu. One felt it's muchan, Rav Yehuda, rather the Tanakama felt it's considered muchanhu, even though it's playing a different role than the keli initially, right? It was a bowl when Shabbos started, it broke. Now it serves as a cover, but still considered a melacha, vis-a-vis the bowl that it once was. But Mar Savar, Rabbi Huda felt, no lahu. This is new. The fact that it's being used as a new purpose. It was a bowl, and now it's a cover. That's nola. That's a creation of something new. Therefore, Rabbi Huda felt it's usser, because it's nola on Shabbos. But Aval Me'erv Shabbos, if it broke before Shabbos, Divya Kol Mutar, and everyone would agree, it's mutter, Ho Vuchanu L'mlacha Mibod Yom. Since my bowl broke Erev Shabbos, now it's a cover. Well, it's a cover now, and nothing new was created on Shabbos. It was created before Shabbos, and everyone would be in agreement that certainly not muksa from before Shabbos. The only debate is, if it broke on Shabbos to have a new function, is that nolad, or is that considered mucham? So Gemara says, Tani Chada, one Brisa says, Masikin b'kelim, vein Masikin b'shivei kelim. You could use kelim, but not broken kelim, to fuel a fire. Tani Idach says, Kishem shemasikin b'kelim, kach masikin b'shivei kelim. You could even use broken kelim. B'tani idach, the other bride says you can't use anything. Ein masikin lo b'kelim lo b'shivet kelim. We have all three permutations. Either you could use everything, you could use nothing, or you could use kelim, but not use shivet kelim. So what's the machlokas here? Har Rabbi Yehuda, Har Rabbi Shimon, Har Rabbi Nechemia. The one opinion holds Rabbi Yehuda, who allows you to use only kelim, but not broken kelim, because it's nolad. That's the tanya that says ein masikin b'shivet kelim. Rabbi Shimon, who allows you to use everything, even broken kelim, he's the bride that says bein kelim, bein shivet kelim. And Rabbi Nechemia, who is the most machmir one by Muksa all over Shas, he's the one who says you can't use either kalim or shivet kalim, you could only use that which is meant letzarach. Okay, we're running out of time really. Amr of Nachman, ha, livne, dishtayer, mibinyana. If you have some leftover bricks that are meant for a building, shari litataluna, you can move bricks on Shabbos, dechazul lemizge alai, because it's fit to sit on top of them. Sharginu vade aksinu. But if, let's say, they're laid on top of each other, they're clearly designated for the purposes of building, then that's certainly going to be muksa. It's going to be designated for muksa, and you can't use it letzarach, makom letzarach. I think it's muksa machmas chesun kis. And at that point, you can't even move them on Shabbos. Let's go a little bit further, push ourselves. Amr of Nachman, Amr of Shmuel. Cheres ktana mutal talta bechatzer. If a small little piece of pottery in the chatzer, you're allowed to move it. About the carmelis level, but you can't move it in the carmelis. Why not? So Rashi explained because in the chatzer it was very common to have kalim in the chatzer. So the cheres, the broken cheres, can be used as a cover of a cup I have in my chatzer. But in a carmelis, most people don't have kalim in the carmelis. So really, a broken cheres to cover a pot wouldn't really be shaykh in the carmelis. So it's muks in a carmelis. Depending where you are, that would dictate whether the item is muks or not muksa. Comes along Rav Nachman, Didei Amar, he himself, however, even though initially Rav Nachman quoted Shmuel, but he himself personally felt, Afil b'karmelis, he felt even a karmelis one would be allowed to use this cheres, because it's not uncommon to have kalim even in a karmelis, and it would have a certain purpose. But in a public domain where people don't have kalim there at all, that would not be allowed. And finally, Rav Amar, Afil b'rishis haram would be allowed, because once it's a kli in one domain, you can't start changing the function of something. If it's a kli here, it's a kli there. Even though it might not be so relevant in Rishis Rabim, once it's established as a kli in a chatzar, the mele must be a kli in a karmelis, as well as a Rishis Rabim. And we have, because as the Rava del Tamei, the Rava have a kazil beriska. He would walk in an area which is some type of Rishis Rabim. Itvase misane tine, and his shoes got very dirty. Also Shemaya, his assistant, came to him, and shaka chaspa v'kamechapirle, and he took a piece of pottery and started kind of scraping off the mud. Ramu bei Rabban and Kala, the rabbi started yelling, "What are you doing? It's muks, it's muks. It's Rishis Rabim." So Amar Rava says to the Tamidim, "Lo mistaya de lo gemiri." It's not enough that you didn't learn, but migmar nami magmiri. But you even teach your other peoples that which is incorrect. Ila b'chatzer have. Had we been in the chatzer, milo have chatzer lekasuyi by mana. Had we been in the chatzer, this cheres would be fit to cover a cup. You wouldn't argue it's not muks in the chatzer. So once it's muta there, hachanami chatzer lididi. It's also fit even in an area that's Rishis Rabim. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll continue tomorrow.